What if every achievement in your life felt like evidence against you? Picture the executive who freezes before presentations, certain this will be the moment everyone discovers she has no idea what she's doing. Or the professor who reads his stellar teaching evaluations and thinks, they just haven't figured me out yet. This isn't rare self-doubt. It's imposter syndrome, and it affects roughly 70% of us at some point. When Michelle Obama admitted feeling like a fraud despite Harvard and the White House, she named what millions experience in silence, the haunting gap between what we've accomplished and who we believe we truly are. This disconnect doesn't discriminate. It strikes hardest at those who've achieved the most, creating a peculiar prison where success becomes its own torture. Imposter syndrome isn't a character flaw. It's a belief system built early and reinforced relentlessly. Our foundations form in childhood through a complex interplay of personality and environment. Some of us arrive wired for worry, more sensitive to criticism, more desperate to prove ourselves worthy. But personality alone doesn't create imposters. Family dynamics complete the construction. Consider the child who brings home a 95% and hears, "Why not 100?" Or whose parents respond to achievements with silence, as if excellence were merely expected background noise. These aren't dramatic moments of abuse, they're subtle erosions of self-trust. Mixed messages prove particularly toxic. Test scores say one thing, parental reactions another, leaving you unable to trust your own competence. Many families assign roles, the smart one, the creative one, labels that become cages. Step outside your assigned character, and success feels fraudulent. These early patterns calcify into core beliefs that filter every future experience. Think of beliefs as translation software. They help us process information quickly, but they're not always accurate. Someone convinced of their incompetence interprets a colleague's question as proof of inadequacy. Someone confident sees normal collaboration. Confirmation bias ensures we find exactly what we're looking for. You maintain a mental catalog of explanations for every success, luck, timing, fooling people, while failures need no scrutiny. They simply confirm what you already knew. You spend hours replaying mistakes, while achievements vanish like morning fog. Each success becomes isolated, an anomaly rather than part of a pattern. Imposter syndrome manifests through two opposing coping mechanisms, overwork and avoidance. Feeling fraudulent, you compensate by working harder than everyone else, believing they possess natural abilities you lack. You arrive first, leave last, obsess over details. Like William, who absorbed three people's jobs rather than admit limitations, you sacrifice relationships, health, and joy to maintain the facade. Yet success through overwork doesn't relieve anxiety, it reinforces it. "I only succeeded because I worked myself to exhaustion," becomes your narrative, shifting goalposts further away. Avoidance operates as overwork's shadow twin. When standards feel impossibly high, you don't try at all. Procrastination protects the fantasy that you could have been brilliant if you'd tried. By withholding effort, you never confront actual capabilities. These twins swing you between exhaustion and checking out entirely, both preventing accurate self-assessment. Even constant praise won't shift your self-view because you're not allowing contradictory evidence through your cognitive fortress. Most of us would never speak to a friend the way we speak to ourselves. Imagine two fitness coaches. Coach A screams that you're lazy and useless. Coach B acknowledges effort, normalizes struggles, and encourages experimentation. Obviously, Coach B gets better results. Yet we choose Coach A's approach for our internal dialogue daily. Many learned self-criticism in childhood, internalizing critical voices or constant comparison. Some believe harsh self-talk prevents complacency, but research demolishes this myth. Self-criticism increases depression and anxiety while making goal achievement harder. It's not just unkind, it's ineffective. Self-compassion builds resilience and helps us learn from mistakes rather than spiral into shame. When you treat yourself with the kindness you'd offer a struggling friend, you create space for growth rather than paralysis. The voice in your head isn't motivating you. It's keeping you small, afraid, and disconnected from your actual capabilities. Perfectionism masquerades as excellence, but functions as a defense against shame, an attempt to earn worth through flawlessness. It starts in one area, then spreads to work, relationships, appearance, home, until everything requires perfection. Our culture celebrates this dysfunction, social media amplifies it, and research shows perfectionist tendencies rising, especially among young people. The research is stark. Perfectionism correlates with depression, anxiety, eating disorders, chronic fatigue, and early mortality. The demands you place on yourself would be recognized as abusive coming from someone else. But failure isn't the enemy, it's the curriculum. Bill Gates's first company flopped. J.K. Rowling faced rejection after rejection. They succeeded not despite failure, but because of what failure taught them. When you reframe mistakes from "I'm not good enough" to "I can learn from this," shame loses its grip and growth becomes possible. You've likely attributed your success to luck, as if opportunities simply fell into your lap. But luck merely opens doors. You still have to walk through them, and that requires skill, preparation, and effort. Yes, timing matters. Research suggests it accounts for 42% of business success. But recognizing the right moment isn't luck, it's judgment. Perhaps you dismiss achievements by saying you just worked hard, as if anyone could replicate your results with sufficient effort. This ignores that hard work itself involves initiative, perseverance, handling feedback well, continuous learning, and strategic sacrifice, qualities that aren't universal. Malcolm Gladwell notes that expertise requires thousands of hours of deliberate practice. Maybe you think you charmed your way through, but likability isn't manipulation, it's social intelligence, empathy, and self-awareness. To overcome imposter syndrome, build an accurate internal measure of your worth, a confidence reservoir that reflects everything you've accomplished. Like tennis players seeded based on their full performance history rather than one match, you need to see your complete picture. Start noticing your strengths, accepting compliments without deflection, celebrating achievements, and recording your role in positive outcomes. Overcoming imposter syndrome isn't a destination. It's an ongoing practice of self-compassion and courage. You're capable, deserving, and don't need external validation to prove your worth. This inner calm lets you redefine success beyond professional achievements to include relationships, passions, growth, and contribution. When you stop hiding, you secure authentic self-connection, and paradoxically, that authenticity enables genuine connection with others. Old fears may resurface. That's normal. Learn your warning signs: overworking, perfectionism, avoidance, harsh self-criticism, and respond with compassion. Remember, you're not alone. Perfection doesn't exist. Failure teaches what success cannot. You contain multitudes, not just the polished version you show the world. Life isn't a race to prove yourself worthy. It's an adventure, messy and beautiful. Take small steps, focus on what could go right, embrace discomfort as growth's price. You are enough, exactly as you are, not because you've achieved enough, but because your worth was never conditional. That's the truth imposter syndrome tried to hide. You were always enough.